This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 10th of October, 1951. The title of this lecture is Theory of Epicenters. This lecture is 63 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Now, the second part of this talk this evening, I'm afraid I'm going to lead you away into the never-never land of God knows what. Out of it will come, I hope, a useful tool of your trade. There is a phenomenon about which you should know. There are several about which you should know. This one in particular. It's the epicenter. Epicenter is taken in its derivation as meaning something approximating a center off the center. Epicenter, other center, something of the sort. It's a center on the center, technically, accurately. And it's a study of the successive command posts of the human organism. Now, everybody knows that the genetic line contains within it inheritable and inherited responses. Nobody has ever bothered to inform us as to why, when, which, why, what. All he did was look at a cat washing its face, which had never seen another cat, and immediately found out that the cat washed its face. Obviously, this cat learned somehow to wash its face, and it inherited a conduct pattern. Genetically. Nobody explored this very far. They just said that's a mud turtle and mud from there on down. There's some interesting data lying back on that track. We have, by empirical observation, the undoubted fact conduct patterns are inheritable and inherited. Well, they certainly don't come across the bridge from generation to generations in a bunch of genes and chromosomes. That's too small. We find out that if there's anything to be remembered, it's obviously a theta facsimile, isn't it? This is just genetic line. So you have a genetic line of theta facsimiles. At the very least, you have a genetic line of theta facsimiles from the moment of conception to the moment of procreation for each generation. Right? Conception to generation. So then, the very least explanation you'd have here in view of these inherited characteristics. Here's your line of generation. Here's your conception. Here's the moment of procreation. And that's kittens. And here's the cat's death. So the kittens come up here, and then you have a moment of procreation, and they go on, and they die, and so on. And just why anybody thought this had to come along the protoplasm line is something I am not quite prepared to state at the moment, because that is an incredible amongst all incredibles. That's really incredible. That strains the imagination, except that people are used to looking at MEST, and they say, here's a little thin thread of protoplasm traveling through time endlessly, therefore we'll blame everything on it. Let's not worry about it. In fact, it's too small to have recordings in it. Let's not worry about anything else about it. Let's just say that's it, and it's mud from there on down. And that's approximately what's happened, so you get this genetic line.
This genetic line, at best, could be a theta facsimile line.
Theta facsimile of an experience here, and a theta facsimile of experience here, then recopied and available to this one at this point, and this point, but this picks up another one, and now those are available to this generation. Now you can prove that.
You just go down and look at a cat. You, anytime you want to take a kitten, the moment it's born and blind, and put it by itself and raise it, you'll find out that the kitten, without ever seeing another cat, will wash its face. That's just one example. But there are much more pertinent examples. Horses, when they are born, generally have four hooks. Now, this is some sort of a facsimile in operation. It's a facsimile of blueprints, that's all. So you take a theta facsimile of blueprints, and you find out that these theta facsimiles come along. Just why anybody thought they had to hook up to a line of protoplasm is more than I know, because they evidently, on evidence, do not hook up to a line of protoplasm, but they hook up to a theta facsimile generation line. You know, it's actually, if we have theta facsimiles and they're observable, then it's simpler to say, well, here's something in existence, therefore it exists as it goes along, as itself, than saying it converts into something else and becomes something else. That's a complex way of thinking about it. So therefore, a theta facsimile track seems rather obvious for any organism. I don't care whether you hook it up to genetics or anything else. And I'd like to bring home to you the fact that there's no proof of any kind that it is a genetic line beyond the fact that it takes a certain amount of protoplasm to manufacture a new organism. There's an observable fact. It's simpler to consider this on a theta facsimile line. Here's your theta facsimile line. Starts in here as a something that probably converts photons. Theta facsimile of photon conversion, and goes right straight on through up to a highly complex organism as one line. That would be one track of possible evolution. You see an individual during his lifetime accumulating these theta facsimiles. All right, that's one track. There's another track. And I'm talking empirically. This stuff has been noticed. All has been noticed. We have phenomena about this. This theta facsimile track will go this way for one individual. It'll stay with a messed body after the bulk of the theta has disappeared. Out of the body, there'll still be some with it. The first time I ever started running an individual, I ran into this phenomenon. But being surrounded by authoritarians, I said, all right, and went into apathy about the subject after a while. I got so much cussing around, because the whole point was that I wasn't supposed to observe that. Now, you can take almost anybody and kick the phenomenon into existence, but let's not observe it. It's not quite clear to me why we mustn't observe a phenomenon as obvious as this, but you get this sort of a situation if you want to look at it clearly, bluntly in the eye. You get the situation of a body running along somatically. That is to say, you've got a pattern of cells. Here's a cellular pattern. It goes along, so you got theta facsimiles of the cellular arrangement of the organism. You got a facsimile of that. Now that facsimile persists beyond the death of the full unit organism. You get a theta facsimile of the individual as an individual, and it goes along the track. So that you've got the whole individual traveling along the track as a personality. Now, it's as though you had a colonial aggregation of cells which then attracts to itself a new force of theta. So that you have the life force of each one of these cells, the theta of these cells, and then when they collect together as an organism, you get an additional supply of theta, which pops in from someplace or other and makes a full picture of the whole thing and carries right along with it. You could say that an individual is composed of these two things, of cellular facsimiles and organism facsimiles. This is observable in the formation of groups. A number of individuals get together, form a group, and immediately the group has a life of its own. You try to dispose of groups, and you'll find out that they don't die easily. Anytime a group has been formed, it seems to attract an additional theta facsimile to it. All right. This then would be the cellular line, and it would be carrying along with the theta facsimiles of the whole organism. Only the cellular line keeps on going. Here's the moment of death. We get facsimiles of the moment of death, and then all of a sudden, this thing sort of disappears out into nowhere and comes down into another cellular line. And this first cellular line keeps on going as a cellular line until it really falls apart. You'll find this in individuals. I won't apologize for what Dame Nature and the rest of the universe has done with its phenomena. That phenomena exists. Don't be too surprised then if your preclear is running himself 150 years in the grave and is running the theta out of his bones. Don't be surprised. As a matter of fact, be rather amazed if, without telling him, he never hits this phenomenon. Because if he doesn't hit it, he's missing someplace down the track. Because it's a form of static which is very interesting and sometimes produces an aberration, and a case will only resolve when you hit that particular line. The statics aren't resolving well this way. All of a sudden you get on this line, you'll find there they are. In other words, there can be a theta line running an actual messed space on four or five different divisions simultaneously. The fellow's in four graves and one disintegrated and himself all at the same time, concurrently. You get a little kid that dreams of skeletons, and he's never had any experience with dead people or skeletons. Why, you've got one there. There's undoubtedly individuals around who have some slight abhorrence of death, who have had nightmares on it. This phenomenon, I say, exists. Please don't take my word for it. Please just look. If you don't find it, write me. If you do, don't think it'll be news to me. With effort processing, you are not asking a person to winnow out his beliefs about anything. You just tell him, get the effort, and there he is. As a consequence, it's not necessary for you to argue with pre-clears concerning this. They either land in this track or they don't. That's one level. Another level of operation, of course, is this main line. Theta, the whole organism facsimile. Now, there is a genetic lineup, which is not genetic particularly, which would also explain this. So if somebody wants to get very tender about it, and by the way, I'm going to make it in the Book of Axioms when it's published for scientific use in universities. It's just going to skip this one. We'll just let them run into this like a freight train head on. And it'll give people nightmares, and other people go around and invalidate them, probably spin a few professors, so what? Just because one discovers phenomena, one is not necessarily responsible for its use. I made that one up some time ago, my own special case. All right. You could take a cadaver. You can. I don't want to. And pull it out of the vat in the dissection room and carve it up And you would find the epicenter evolution of the brain demonstrable in that cadaver. I took occasion to go open up a physiology book one day, very recently. I looked it over. I found a remark in it, which was very interesting. It said, it seems as though there are nerve centers and crossroads throughout its body. Abandoned the subject there and went off as to how you feed people Brown's mixture and it cures them of tuberculosis. But the point is that it had been noticed in cutting up stiffs that there were new nerve posts. We ran into these things head on. What's the evolution of the command center and control alignment center of the human mind? What is it? You can take a pre-clear, and you can run him right straight back down this thing, from epicenter to epicenter, one right after the other. You should know about epicenters because you're going to be running pre-clears, and you should know where they'll feel the next effort. You don't have to tell them where to feel the next effort, but you can just give some attention to it if they start to get disoriented. And they'll tell you various things which might worry you unless you know about the epicenter. And that's the only reason I'm telling you about the epicenter. It's phenomena which you are going to contact willy-nilly, and you should then be prepared to brace up to it instead of going into a spin concerning it, because it can be very, very interesting. How did the human mind, the brain, the body, come into evolution? I could test this on an individual here and demonstrate it to him, but all of you will more or less find this if you continue on in processing. But you can install the epicenter effect in an individual. You can create a facsimile of the epicenter effect. Very demonstrable. All you do is have him sit down in a chair. Tell him to sit down rigidly, hold himself very rigid, to brace himself, hold himself there, then you hit him alongside the head. Hit him with the side of your hand, don't hurt him very much. And if you bring your hand in so that the contact is slow with his head, but the jerk is sudden thereafter, like that, he'll go, rrr. By the way, you'll get mad because, as we will cover in these lectures, motion and emotion are identical. They're the same thing. Emotion is a manifestation of motion. It is a glandular manifestation of motion, so as to cook up the carbon-oxygen engine and make it do various things. We'll cover that later. But the point is that after you smack this individual on the side of the head, he's got an epicenter, a new one. And he's groggy. Now, if you were to give him a test, an intelligence test or something, right after you'd given him a new epicenter, you'd find out he wasn't so well off. His IQ would have momentarily dropped. And what you do is start running him through this epicenter. Just scan him through the moment when you did that, and he'll see the new epicenter. You don't have to tell him. He'll comment on it that there's an instant when he is here, when he knows he was really here, but he appears to be here and here simultaneously. He's got two positions. He has two positions simultaneously. Position number one is the moment before the impact, and position number two is the moment at the end of the impact. Position number two is the epicenter of position number one. Position number one. He's sitting rigidly. You hit him alongside of the head. Bang. He isn't recording, you see, because of the jolt, as far as the awareness unit is concerned, but the facsimile is made of it. You've got a moment of unconsciousness where his center of control moves over, and it appears to be now in the new position. As pre-clears are running effort, you'll find them in dentist chairs, in automobile accidents, and everything else, where they are apparently facing this way, but their heads are facing this way. Their faces will be 90 degrees out, or they will apparently be standing here, but they'll be standing over here simultaneously. You can ask a lot of individuals, you'll find out he has a sensation of being in two positions at the same time. That is the most rudimentary manifestation of the epicenter. It has an evolutionary purpose that has to do with self-determinism and counter-effort. Each new generation, you can put this down as a little law, each new generation has as its new epicenter the common denominator position of its last generation epicenters. It has a new center, which is the common denominator position of the last generation's epicenters. Here was an individual in one generation. Here he is, like so. This, we're looking head down on top of his head. And here is his center of control, where his nervous system joins up, hooks up, and over which and around which theta facsimiles seem to center. This is his control post, or control center of the organism. From this point of emanation, theta translates into MEST action. Theta facsimile translates into MEST action, more or less centralized in that locale. It's an imaginary point, but it actually exists neurologically. It exists neurologically. Now, here's this fellow, he's been hit from here. Knocked this way. This is during one lifetime. He's been knocked here, 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 here. There's the common area of his new center, which becomes the new center, more or less. About so. So people's neurological center really wanders all over their heads. But here's the only place where the perceptions come in and coordinate and become facsimiles. So you give a guy a few epicenters, and all of a sudden, his organism goes on as recording center, see? All recording at this point, but he isn't at that point anymore in one generation. He's been hit often enough, and before he's through with that generation, he's occluded. This is an analogy, but it is demonstrated neurologically. He is becomes occluded because he isn't perceiving. Now, he can see things coming in. He can perceive fairly well, but he can't recall very well. He's got to recall back to the center. All right. We'll take this as a little boy whose mama is fond of pushing him around. Mama, in his case, is counter effort. Here is the boy trying to be self-determined.
So mama was out here and hit him, and mama was out here and hit him, and mama was out here and hit him.
This was into new positions where he's been hit, by the way, rather than mama. And bang, bang, bang. One generation. This individual, in one generation, will get us an epicenter as the center of operation for himself. And when you take him back on the time track, he is looking at himself from this circle. Anywhere on that circle, he's out of valence. And the reason he is out of valence is he has taken the point of counter effort because it is too dangerous to be self-determined effort. The next generation of this individual's theta facsimiles will probably come together so as to form a new center. That will center up, but it was the combined counter effort. But now, with a new organism, theta can come in and over superimpose and resolve the old counter effort into a new center. And the person is not in valence now. He's not out of valence at the beginning. But then he starts getting a lot of new counter-efforts. Bang, 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 bang. And he starts getting this epicenter effect again through life. And all of a sudden his visio starts off and a lot of other things start off. And agreement is just being oneself to a large degree with oneself. One goes out of communication with oneself, and one isn't in agreement with oneself, and one isn't oneself, then one doesn't have any reality on oneself. And when one gets knocked around and been given too many epicenters, one ceases to be himself, but starts to become the counter-effort. See how that is? So he's out of valence. You take him back on the track, he sees himself lying there in terrible apathy. He says, oh yes. Now you ask him to get an effort. What is his effort at this point? If this poor guy ever starts self-auditing, all he will do is punish himself. Because that's what the counter-effort did. So the self-auditing individual goes on and punishes himself just as the counter-effort punished him, because he's occupying the point of the counter-effort. He's out of valence, therefore he is the exterior force hurting the individual. And he only gets these counter-efforts when he's being hurt, so the only thing the counter-effort really does to him, when it really starts operating on him and he starts trying to audit himself, is hurt him some more. Nobody with E therapy, Q therapy, G therapy, R therapy, Bean therapy, black snake oil therapy, the preclear will now step off the time track and waltz therapy. Winterian therapy, Campbellian therapy, even that degree of ridiculousness. I don't want to say any hard words because it's not polite, not because it's not true. Anyhow, I'm being a counter-effort to those gentlemen right now. Bang! Bang, bang, bang. Epicenters, epicenters galore, and he starts getting in this common denominator of the epicenters. His stuff goes off. But why is it off? He is a static. These counter efforts have made a static out of this person. They've said, obey, 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 and so he's gotten to be a static. The old self-determinism has to go into apathy before a person goes out of valence. You see that? An individual goes into apathy, and the second he goes out of apathy, he moves out here and is the counter-effort. Now, the counter-effort was bang, 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 so the individual starts treating himself in just that fashion. He'll give himself accidents. He'll do all sorts of things to himself. You see? So the process of going out of valence is a very, very precise one, and it's just the same precision. One, two, three. There's nothing to it. The individual goes into apathy, assumes the static of obedience because of applied force, moves out of himself into the area or perimeter of the counter-effort, and then regards himself on this perimeter as this perimeter of counter-efforts regarded him. The perimeter of counter-efforts are probably in disagreement with him, but it is still ARC. In order to have any motion at all, this individual has to be on the perimeter, since this has become a static. So the person is handling himself from an actual new epicenter, and is saying, you do this and you do that, and I have to talk myself into it, and I have to go there, and I have to do that. And you know, I'm pretty mean to myself. This is all this epicenter effect. Also, you can get five or six new epicenters, group them, and you get a schizomaniac. Multivalent personality. Now here, then, is something you're going to work with continually, and boy, underscore this, is terribly important in therapy, because a lot of your cases won't resolve unless you know this. This cycle of self-determinism goes into apathy, and the existing ARC is low tone scale counter-effort. The counter-effort is disagreeing with the preclair. who is in apathy. Now, you expect this guy to have perceptics? And what I'm actually telling you now is how to turn on sign. He's out of valence. Even if he's slightly out of valence in any theta facsimile, you're not going to get good communication. But particularly because he is a static, and communication requires motion. Even agreement requires motion. All of these things. What he is in a point of having been stopped. This is the, all the times when the forces of the messed universe and other organisms made him obey. In other words, reduced him to a static. He operates from that point on then as the counter effort. You've got to get his effort, which is no effort at all. Apathy is zero effort. A static is zero effort. Your preclear who has no perceptics is in zero effort with regard to himself and is running and motivating himself by counter efforts. If you start to run what is his effort exclusively, you will start to run counter efforts. Even though he's so occluded, he can't see that he's out of valence. He's out of valence. You know that mechanism exists if he's occluded. The wrong way to do it is get him into valence. The right way to do it is have him run no effort. Pick up locks off the case and then run some more no effort. And all of a sudden, he'll start to receive counter efforts. Now, his ARC has gone on from a static position and starts up into the area of agreement. But it has to go through disagreement. Now, on a low level of ARC, what is communication? It's practically zero, isn't it? What's reality? It's practically zero. And of course, this preclear doesn't have any reality about himself or existence or anything else, as long as he's in a static state. But you start having him run no effort, and he starts up the line. Now, how do you feel about your mother? It's all right. It's all right. I feel good. Everything. So on. Well, now let's feel this, and he all of a sudden will pick up some kind of a counter effort. Sometimes you can get him early on the track, and he'll really start picking up a little self-determinism in himself, which is not a no effort proposition, but just that much effort. And you start multiplying this. He comes up out of the static. The second he comes up out of the static, he's into ARC. Now, how do you feel towards your mother? Well, I disagree with it. Good. Get the effort to disagree. The effort to disagree. Get the effort not to love her. Get the effort not to communicate with her. This is why this error was made the other day on the fact that ARC is out, you see, is because it merges from a static into the lowest area of ARC. It doesn't graduate from complete ARC into no ARC into ARC. What it goes is from a static reverse ARC into ARC. And you get his disagreement. His effort to communicate is actually his first effort. But that's just that much above a static. And it's an obedience effort and has nothing to do with understanding, and it's just parrot-wise. You'll find that earlier on the track, too. Get that effort to disagree, effort to refuse communication, effort to refuse affinity, and all of a sudden you'll start building up and you'll start to get motion on the track. The only reason the guy could be there in apathy is because he stopped. And you've got to get him moving in order to get a flow of time so that you can get communication. This is all so darn mechanical. You'll see it in yourselves. If you can find a moment when you were disagreeing with a parent and then get your effort to disagree, you'll find that the incident will turn up a bit. Don't expect the whole incident to turn on at one fell swoop, because you probably have got to get a lot of these incidents before you start to get the person into view. And then all of a sudden they'll turn on and the rest of the perceptics will turn on. If you use this and fail to get the person's perceptics on in a very short space of time, two sessions, and you haven't got his perceptics on, you ought to quit. Now, that's the mechanism of valence, the mechanism for perception, the mechanism of obedience, and the mechanism of how to get a person up the tone scale on ARC. And it's this epicenter effect. I'm going to tell you something more about this epicenter effect. I told the kids here one day, once upon a time, there was a photon conversion unit, a theta photon conversion unit, And it grew and it grew and it multiplied and it multiplied. And one day, here was a little cell and its name was algae. Good gag. I thought I'd use it again. First time I ever repeated myself on a lecture platform. Anyhow, the point is, algae has gotten there as algae from lower complex forms in the same way it gets from algae onto upper higher complex forms. Now we're talking about cellular alignment and coordination. That's what we're talking about. The cellular body. We're not talking about the overall personality, which I mentioned, that theta line. We're talking about the somatic strip, theta line. All right? Here's algae. The waves come along and start beating in pieces. More waves, too much sunlight, too little sunlight, more waves. In other words, counter effort, counter effort, counter effort. Incidentally, probably gets driven ashore and gets a few death engrams on the beach and so forth. And all these things add up to counter effort, counter effort, counter effort, counter effort, counter effort. And algae says, we got to do something about this. By the way, this is a missing bridge. Evolution couldn't take place unless it stepped across the bridge of death, because there never would have been an educative cycle whereby the organism would have found out that it had to avoid death. It never would have had any experience with death, so never then would have advanced to prevent death or to do these other things. So it's very interesting. Anyway, one day he comes along and he says, gee, all these counter efforts, counter efforts, counter efforts. Actually, what algae does is postulate a tougher shell for himself. He's in a tougher envelope. But he found out he had to have a tougher envelope, and he got the physical force to make a new envelope simply by using counter effort, and made a new epicenter for algae and said, we have to operate from this new epicenter. Algae's first epicenter was here, so big, and now we've got one so big. In other words, we've got new structural data. Every time we got a new cellular facsimile of something happening to algae, we got new data, which was installed on a counter-effort basis. But now we're dealing with a basic organism here. It's not necessary to go down this low particularly. What you want to get is the first organism form, the first colony. Let's say algae finally, through counter efforts one way or another, found out that he had to string himself together on beads and hook himself here to the ocean floor, which they do. And then it got a lot of counter effort coming from here, and counter efforts from here, and counter efforts from here, and here, and here. The next darn thing you know, it had an envelope around here, sort of a leaf. Some sort, formed by the counter efforts of waves and rebuilt out of theta facsimiles. The odd part of it is it's starting to work up to a point where it's getting up to a common epicenter. It's got to have a control post. And it can be beaten around until it actually has to postulate. There has to be a central post of nervous command where it can pull the switches for the rest of the organism. So it goes ahead and builds one. And then it finds out that it isn't so good not to be mobile. And decides it better float for a while and builds itself into some kind of a jellyfish. After it's built itself into a jellyfish, it's quite happy. But one day it starts to run in toward the beach near rocks. Caverns, rocks, goes in there, hits, scrapes, killed. Goes out, makes another jellyfish someplace, new cells, genetic line, advantage of us, all working out very beautifully, drifts in toward the rocks and hits rock formation like that and gets killed. Goes out, that is, gets a few dozen of these facsimiles and says, you know, this isn't so hot. Every time we turn around, we get killed by a rock. But the modus operandi now becomes very plain. You can trace it back earlier than this. I don't want to take the time. It gets very, very plain now what's happening. Every time it came in here and hit that, it got a counter effort here against the command post of this jellyfish. So what's it do? It builds an organism from the new counter-effort perimeter. Winds up as a shellfish. Shellfish, rocks, counter-effort, shellfish. Here's a fish without a shell. Counter-effort says its force is always coming from this area. It's really got a new post of command. It puts its new post of command right down where you'd expect it, where there'd be the toughest counter-effort of all. As the waves that drive this jellyfish in there, it'll get tougher and tougher until, bang! Anytime you've got points of rocks, you get that. So naturally, the shellfish says, there is the new post of command. New post of command's right there. Old post of command was there. It's still got the old post of command. Very interesting. You start carving up animals, you'll find these command posts. Now, you start carving up preclears, you'll find them too. It's very interesting that it postulates, evidently, possibly at that point, evidently postulates the fact that it needs two command posts. Maybe it starts with one, but it'll sure wind up with two. You get a bivalve system worked out of command posts. Why? Well, the counter effort, which was tough now, is operating on this old counter effort in here. So you'll get two of them. And then it'll go on in, get washed ashore in the surf, gets a facsimile of being smashed up in the surf, gets washed ashore in the surf, gets a facsimile of getting smashed up in the surf, has a facsimile of animals trying to get at it, has a facsimile of something or other happening, so it has to hold itself shut and open itself up, and it's really in a mess because there is the most static form of life. You can run this out of preclears. You'll find them in it. Don't tell them. Just run them for a while. And you start running those new centers of effort. They're right there. The roof of your mouth, bottom of your mouth, jaw formation. That's it. Dentist comes along and he starts to chew you up and open your jaws and close your jaws without your will. That yanimal's getting them. That's the surf busting it up. So forth, and they'll re-stimulate these old brains. These old centers of effort get re-stimulated. You can run them out if you want to. Scare him to death, too. You'll find him running surf. Sonic on surf and all sorts of interesting things. The theta facsimiles are there, and there's sure plenty of them. You get somebody that's quite common to find preclears with lots of strange jaw somatics. The thing to do, of course, if a person has a jaw somatic, a theta facsimile influencing him in this effort, is to have a tooth pulled. Everybody knows that. Actually, what happens when you have a tooth pulled, it's the easiest and simplest method known to establish a new counter effort, which will give an epicenter effect which will move the preclear out of contact with the theta facsimiles which were influencing him. You run people through dental operations, you'll find the jerk of the pulling of the tooth will give him a new epicenter. And it puts him out of contact with the old pain area. So obviously, pulling the tooth was what fixed it up. And it was obviously the tooth. Now, a tooth will get a hole in it or something of the sort and will re-stimulate one of these old ones. And the next darn thing you know, he's got his toothache clear around here. The fifth nerve channel. Now, every one of these starts to get a nerve system mixed up with it. If you look over the connections, brain connections, which are postulated to exist in the motor switchboard of the mind, you'll find out the tongue and the hand are terribly exaggerated. The tongue and the hand. Odd that the tongue would be, isn't it? That doesn't make sense for this generation, but it does for this system. All right, as odd as this looks. Now, where is your new center of effort? And this is all you have to keep asking the preclear, is the new counter-efforts that he's trying to face and his efforts against these counter-efforts. Because
The new counter effort out here is all around this shell perimeter.
All the way around there, and that's going to form up a new circle of counter effort, and as that body evolves, it'll take up new command posts on this perimeter. And it'll start to grow in various ways. Anyway, it grew legs and got up on the beach and became crab or something of the sort and went off and joined the Republican Party. Anyhow, whatever it is. Now, as you trace it up, though, here is a cycle which is in operation in the physical organism, a cycle of obedience and suppression. In order for the new counter effort to become the new center of control, this area had to go into apathy. It did that through successive deaths caused by this counter effort forcing itself on there. Then it developed, next life, this thing really obeys that one. Physical wise, you get obedience of the mechanism. It's a forced, missed obedience, missed force obedience. Now, you get right on up the line. No matter what your complexities is, you'll get one right after the other. Right on through to present time, you'll get these counter efforts hitting the old self-determinism. And the old self-determinism is beaten into apathy by deaths caused by these counter efforts. And then finally, the body will overcome this, your theta facsimiles will combine, and it will build a mechanism to fit the new counter of effort. As a matter of fact, don't be surprised at almost any evolutionary step you find along the line. It is remarkable, rather than otherwise, that your preclears, when you start running them and start describing themselves, quite remarkably, it's very peculiar that some of the data collected by Darwin is absolutely correct. Your preclear doesn't have to know about it. He tells you what kind of shapes he's in. But you watch the preclear. Death, bang, out of valence. All the way down the track, zing, he keeps going out of valence, out of valence, out of valence, out of valence at every death. But it's out of valence into the new counter effort. So you can keep picking this up, and you can keep running this back. If you start back on the track with effort processing, he'll be out of valence and then disagreeing with the body, and then into valence and disagreeing and up the line from apathy, and you'll wake that center up. And then you go down, you'll be waking up the next center. And you go down and knocking out a facsimile and waking up that one and that one and that one and that one. And if you start tracing back effort processing, I don't care how many prayers you pray, you are not going to be able to stop the preclear from going back into this stuff. He'll arrive there willy-nilly. How far back it is desirable to go is a question that's not been particularly codified. I know that the photon converter is not reducible. Funny statement to make, isn't it? But somebody may be able to come along and reduce it. I hope somebody does. There must be some trick of reducing it, maybe unburdening it and reducing it in some fashion or other. It's also interesting that its self-determinism is really self-determinism. It wants nothing to do with nobody know-how. That is to say, it wants no ARC or nothing, because it's a static. It's a static amongst statics. The second you get back into the static, its effort is static, but there should be some way to do something about it. I think that is the moment, if you unburden the track above that, that the preclear goes... So let's work on that and find out. Well, it's all in the name of science. Now, there is your mechanism of valences and self-determinism. Now, please have that cycle down. You'll see that cycle, you'll see it in action, and you will watch it behaving. You should try to run out the incidents you contact, just like you used to try to run out engrams. You start gunshotting back down the track, though. Boy, if a preclear really gets into the valence on some of these earlier forms, however, if he's into valence and running them, you will find them appertaining to some particular portion of his anatomy. you will find him operating out of the old control center, because the engram was received by the old control center. And that's what you've got to run out. And he would be very curious to have somatics turning on elsewhere when he's obviously in this old control center and the other things didn't exist. Yeah, but in there's sure a lot of locks on top of something as early as a piece of kelp. And it'll turn on locks because all cells are the great, 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 great something or others. Evidently a theta line keeps right up with a genetic line, but it follows it through in extremis. Theta lines intertwine with these genetic lines, but they track their own genetic lines very nicely. Doesn't particularly upset people, not when they watch it work. But I'm not going to write this down anyplace. I'm not going to talk about this particularly, not going to spread it around, merely because people haven't got much reserve about understanding it, and they certainly wouldn't be good enough auditors to find the effect when, heck, these guys couldn't even find a... Well, I don't know. They haven't been able to locate some of the most obvious phenomena that exists. How anybody could possibly miss a phenomenon as marked as return? Let's get elementary. How could they miss return? How could they miss the significance of recalls? They've been studied exhaustively. Now this works out for you in another fashion. I'll go home in a couple of minutes, but I want to show you this little ditty right here, which the boys have seen a lot. Here's self-determinism, the effort, current effort, which is being self-determinism in the organism, operating from the control center of the body. Now, here is the switchboard. You might say the motor switchboard of the body. We're into structure now in Dianetics. We're deep into structure. Boy, we can destructure more structure that's been postulated in the past than you can shake a stick at. About time. The way to cure a toothache is just to move the guy's epicenter over so he can't feel it. And his teeth keep on decaying, and now he has another reason for his teeth to decay, and they all say, well, that's the way it does. Yeah, the only way to help somebody out is kill them. Introduce new static. These are waves, theta impulse, translating into MEST impulses. Theta facsimile, translation into the MEST impulse, motion. Here's the center of operating motion. You can find such a center in the body. It operates the center nerve control system. All right, here's this motor strip, which has been sketched out in the brain. It's very important for you to know that a person is as self-determined as his own theta facsimiles of his self-determinism are in control of his motor strip and is as aberrated and as interrupted as his motor strip is controlled by the environment. The environment, does the environment control this strip? Or does I control the strip? A psychotic's motor strip is controlled 100% by the environment. 100%. If he's really in bad shape. That is to say, organisms in the environment and so forth. And when that psychotic is no longer in motion, then the physical universe is in control of the motor strip, and that's all there is. There is no theta there. Except that which is stored and inoperative and is only operating on the cells, and that gets stored in the body, and they have to bury it, and you'll recover it by scanning 150 years out of the freeway. Anyhow, besides the point, you want to remember this principle. This is an important principle because it will resolve for you a lot of cases and it will let you extrapolate new techniques. Self-determinism is the effort of one's running one's own switchboard. Re-stimulation is the willingness of one's self-determined effort to hand over the control of the switchboard to the environment. Now, therefore, if you take a psychotic and you give him orders You're just introducing more statics because you're not touching I. All you're doing is operating on the switchboard. You can make him do anything you want to, hypnotize him, so forth. What you're trying to do is hand back his self-determinism to him. That's what you're trying to do. Now, to do that, you go into communication with him any way that you possibly can and establish affinity and agreement with him by mimicry or whatever means. One of the means of going into communication is, of course, by tactile communication. You know what's meant by that. As a matter of fact, you can hit old epicenters. There's old epicenters. They're all over the body. They're here, they're here, they're here, they're here, they're back here, they're here. Back of the cords of the neck, they're all up and down the spine. They're here in the elbows, they're here in the tips of the fingers, here, all over the shop. You'll find proceeding from each one muscular tension. Tension or too lax. Too great a laxity. One or the other. You'll find portions on a preclear's body, actually, where you can go into almost direct contact with some old epicenter and wake it up. But all you're doing, remember, it's just establishing communication. You can't talk to him, but you can hit through the motor strip in the old epicenters. It's not chiropractic or anything of the sort, but there was more to chiropractic and osteopathy and Swedish massage than one at first glance would suppose, and they do produce results. They have produced results. They best produce the results when they can knock out of restimulation an old epicenter. Because remember, the human being does not re-stimulate all in one piece. He re-stimulates selectively, and the old epicenters are still in control of various portions of the body, although they were put into control by being knocked into apathy. When they are now re-stimulated into apathy, that portion of their body gets sick. Remember, the body has learned to work together with ARC, although it was knocked together with brute force. Of course, you realize by picking up old epicenters and influencing these old epicenters that you're actually going to make it difficult for a person to evolve into a policeman or something of the sort. You're actually interrupting an evolution chain mechanism when you're doing this. But that's for one generation. So remember this principle of re-stimulation. The person goes out and looks at the streetcars and so forth. He's short-circuited. But this has consented to that short circuit. I, in each case, has consented to the short circuit taking place between the environment. You want to pick up hypnosis? No, I don't run hypnosis. I ad nauseam ad infinitum. Just run up the times when the guy agreed to be hypnotized. When self-determinism stepped in and said, okay, environment, there you are. Only self-determinism could hand out the control of this motor strip to the environment. The effort of self-determinism says to the environment, go ahead, handle my motors. The same mechanism is self-determinism says, all right, I can't stand the pain, I can't do this and that. Go ahead, Papa, I'll obey you. Now, Papa is monitoring this guy's switchboard. Run here, run there, do this, do that, stand on your head. There you go. Now, something else is equally interesting. I'm keeping you over time. I hope you don't mind. Do you any good? When the organism goes unconscious in one position and wakes up in another position, its switchboard points and tabs are out of kilter. The grogginess resulting in the return of consciousness is simply that. I trying to find his own switchboard tabs through these epicenters, through a new epicenter and so on, all messed up. All you'd have to do to a dog is put him to sleep, give him a kick in the slats, move his joint positions, all in different ways, take him a room away and stand him on his head. When he woke up, he'd be crazy as a coot. You know, treat him like they treat human beings. Anyway, this mechanism then is something that you should know about. And you should also know this as auditors about this switchboard. This fellow gets an epicenter of some sort. He is running down the street, he falls, he hits, bong. The sidewalk is now the counter effort. And it jams this much of the board. You savvy? Jams that much of the board. Now he feels rather uncertain about running down the street. Now, if someone comes along and tells him, "You poor little boy, here is a quarter. I'm sorry you fell down. You want to be careful running down the street." If this little kid is fool enough to accept the quarter, he's agreed to hook that in solid. Mama says, "You mustn't run that fast. You will fall. You will hurt yourself," and so forth. At the moment he agrees, that'll stay solid. But if I says, "Get in there and repeat the effort. Run down the street. Run down the street. Run down the street. This is present time. Go ahead and run. So you busted your nose. Go on and run. So you crashed the plane. Go on and fly tomorrow. So you had an automobile wreck. Go on and drive." If I does that, this does this. And you mustn't overlook that as a therapy, because that is essentially what you were doing. You're making the guy fall and bust his nose on the sidewalk and fall and bust his nose on the sidewalk until the motor switchboard can no longer be influenced by busting one's nose on the sidewalk. But you're doing something more than that. You're taking the punch, the actual punch, out of the statics of theta facsimiles. But this is a therapy, and don't neglect it as a therapy. If somebody says, "I can't walk, I hurt my leg in the war, and I can't walk anymore," you would be very much out of order to go in and say, "Well, you've got to walk," because you're just more environment taking over from I. What you want to find out is when he agreed not to walk. At that moment, then, you can cut loose the bar to the switchboard, but don't expect him necessarily to walk in the next 5 minutes, because he won't. What he will do is be uncertain about it for a short time until he works those centers out. But it's a simple physiological arrangement. Kept you a little bit over time tonight. And I am very, very disappointed about the glasses, but don't take it on an obedience level. As a matter of fact, if you took it on an obedience level, that's great. Let your auditor find that static and knock it out. We'll see all of you here tomorrow night, same time. Thank you very much.